Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Selena Pinkney, live coming at you with on the air Blog Talk Radio news regarding terrorism, regarding police brutality, regarding discrimination in the 21st century in the United States of America. Today is June 23rd, 2015, and we are continuing from what we were discussing on the 21st and on the 22nd. This is a three-day call to action. I want to thank everybody for showing up and for stepping up. Not too many people nowadays, with a lot of the retaliation that is being faced and a lot of the hate crimes that have been committed, really feel comfortable speaking out. So I applaud you if you are speaking out. We need more Malcolm X's. We need more people like, help me out here, Monica. We need people like Martin Luther King. What's the name? The name of who else?
Yeah, Martin Luther King, Edgar Everest.
That's right. We need more Rosa Parks and so forth. All right, and we do have Monica on the line with us again that's joining us. We also have Mike here in the studio that's joining us as well. We do have a couple callers in the process of calling in. So we're going to go ahead and get this show started right and just recap briefly, let you know what our objective is, what our goal is, why we're having this call to action. And if you have any questions, you need not hesitate to call in. Closed mouth, don't get fed. I think we all know that saying, right, Monica?
That's right.
There's also another religious saying that says, you have not because you ask not. So if we're going to complain that we are tired of it, we're not going to take it anymore, we need more people to stand up and say something, do something. We're the ones that are voting. We're the ones that's putting people in power. We certainly don't want to have another African Holocaust on our hands. So we definitely need to wake up. We need to watch the news. We need to make it our business. It is our responsibility. Some people might say, oh, it's not my responsibility. It is your responsibility, okay? Whether you're black, white, purple, green, striped, I don't care. Whether you're a Christian, Muslim, Catholic, Buddhist, I don't care. That's not the point. You're a human being. Civil rights is civil rights. If you see something, say something. And that's one of the ways that we can help make this place a better place for all of us, because we all have to be here. We all have to exist as human beings on this planet, okay? So basically, we are talking about Clemente Pinckney, for example. We discussed him yesterday. He's a pastor in a church in Charleston, South Carolina, one of nine people that were murdered by 21-year-old Dylan. Went into that in detail yesterday, so just wanted to give you a brief summary. And he was murdered just for being born black. There was really no reason for him or anybody in that church to be murdered. Basically, they were having Bible study. Dylan came in, pretended like he was having Bible study, even almost recanted the whole plan of murdering them because they were so nice to him, is what the news is saying. Now, we're moving right along to Walter Scott. We touched briefly on Walter Scott, briefly off the air, but I want to get into Walter Scott. I'm going to let Monica tell you the summary of Walter Scott. He was murdered in April of this year. Go ahead, Monica. Tell us about what happened to Walter Scott.
It's a brief synopsis. I'll give you a small description. What I viewed was, understood was there was a traffic stop. For a tail light being out on a gentleman's car. And the police officer proceeded to tase him. Walter Scott was in actuality running away from the taser. The police traffic camera revealed that actually it was a bystander that recorded the entire ordeal with him running from the taser. And then you can see on the camera, the recording, where the officer radios in and says that the gentleman went for his t- tasers, when you could clearly see in the video that Walter Scott was running far away in front of him, away from him, to escape the taser. What eventually happened is, after he made the call, he shot and continued to shoot 8 times into the body of Walter Scott until he lay face down dead on the ground, and then proceeded to walk over to him and handcuff him while he was dead. There was no call, man down, then he was request ambulance or someone to come, you know, any kind of assistance to even ascertain if Walter Scott was still alive when he hit the ground or not.
Yeah, that's wrong. I don't care.
Yeah, we have Mike here that just joined us, and we were just talking. Let me just brief you for a part that you might may have missed before coming into the studio, Mike. We were talking about Walter Scott. He's a young black man that was murdered in April of this year.
I know.
It was a traffic stop because of his back light being out, and he ran because he was afraid, naturally, because he knew what was coming. Whether he ran or not, it doesn't give him the right to have his life stolen from him and him to be shot 8 times in the back while he's running.
There was no warning shot.
He shot him 8 times. Not once, but 8 times. I mean, he could have just ran. I mean, they do physical fitness when they go to police academy. He could have ran and caught him, you know, but he decided, no, I don't feel like running. Let me just shoot him 8 times. I mean, he didn't just shoot him in the leg to just wound him so he could stop running. He shot him in the back, not in the leg, you know, to wound him so he couldn't run.
No, he shot to kill.
But he shot to kill, exactly, because he shot him in the back and, again, 8 times. And he was basically tasing him right before the footage that you've seen on the news. There was a bystander that was on his way to work that filmed it on his cell phone without being noticed. If it wasn't for that cell phone to surface, listeners, we would not even have known all of this had happened, and he would have died in vain. Walter Scott's death would have been in vain. That officer,
another black man.
Right, and that officer that did this to him, Officer Michael Slager, would probably be on death duty, still working with nothing, no kind of, you know, no type of punishment for what he did. So he was tasing him before the person that saw what happened started pushing the record button on his phone. He was already tasing. Michael was already tasing the innocent person he pulled over in the traffic stop, tasing Walter Scott. And that's what why Walter got up and was running is because he was trying to get away from the taser. If you have an axe and you keep swinging it and hitting me in my back or my leg, I'm human. It hurts. I'm going to say, ouch. I'm going to run. Of course I'm going to run. I'm a human being. Common sense. So that's basically what happened. And then later, and if you watch it on Channel 7 Eyewitness News or any of the news networks in your particular area, whatever state you live in, you can just type in and Google Walter Scott, and it will come up. You can see the actual footage. There's a couple recordings at different points. And you can see him taking the taser. You can see the cop taking the taser and moving it from the scene of the crime. Is that right, Monica?
That's right.
Is that right? You can see him moving the taser and putting it next to the body?
Yes, and let me add this. Oftentimes, if there is an officer in pursuit of a perpetrator or whatever they might call Mr. Walter Scott, they normally fire a warning shot in the air before they decide to shoot. Before you decide to shoot a person, you would shoot, like, to name, to, you know, get them down, shoot them in the leg or the arm. But
right.
There was no warning shot, and this man, he shot to kill. He did not
That's just like what happened earlier today. If you check your social media, there was another shooting where this young black man was shot down at least 7 or 8 times in the back also. Actually, not in the back. He was shot in the head. That was a blow that killed him. And the officer proceeded to come up behind him and put his knees on his back and handcuff him while his brains were leaking out of his head. So he shot him in the head, blew his top off literally, and you're handcuffing the man saying, put your hands behind your back, quote unquote. Well, how can I put my hands behind my back if I'm already dead? Well, there was no pulse that was checked till after he was handcuffed. The same thing with Walter Scott. So now we have Mike here. He's ready to burst at the seams because I know he wants to jump in on this. So let's
get him,
let Mike.
I'm a white boy, and I don't agree with none of this, all this stuff. I don't get to get home. So my best friends, my wife's Hispanic. I don't understand all this violence. I don't. Whether you nigga, or a spick or a Spanish, to me it's irrelevant. Like, we all on this earth to get along. And I try to do it. That's why when she said I got to jump in, I really don't know how to articulate what I want to say, but I can say this. I love everybody. I got to learn the person, you know, to meet the person and love that person before I make a condescending thing where, she's this or he's that. I can't do it.
I think what he's referring to, listeners, is how people use the term loosely when they use the N-word. As a matter of fact,
I don't like that N-word. I'm a white boy.
And I hear you there. And
I think it's a disgrace.
It is.
When
people use
when
it.
You, no, but I hate it when a black person
uses
that word. Again, says nigger.
Right.
I hate it.
And they put an A on the end.
Oh, yeah, that's most E.L. Hewley, all the prominent black comedians, they you know, the only difference is they say it's because they say nigger, not nigger.
So they think that makes it any better, and that's not helping either.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it doesn't.
You know what? I hate it. I do.
That's right. We have to stop referring to each other as that if we want people to stop referring to us as that as well. We need to be serious all the time. That's
I don't
right.
like that nigga.
I hear you on that.
I never.
Now, what do you think about what happened to Walter Scott being shot in the back each time, and then the taser was planted next to his body?
Oh, he should. That cop should be done.
He should be fired, right?
Criminal charges, not just fire.
Right, exactly.
He used his authority.
Okay, now the
I'm the big boy in the block.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't gonna tell me what you're gonna do to me. I'm gonna tell you what you.
I hear you. Now, what happened in that case, listeners, with Walter Scott is the police officer that did this heinous crime, hate crime, that is, Michael Slager, is facing possible death penalty right now. And the only reason that there's justice being served right now is because he's doing time for this. There is no doubt about it. It was already stated that he's going to be doing time.
He should get the death penalty.
And the only reason he's doing time is because of that recording from that person that was on the way to work that recorded it on his cell phone.
Yeah, but he was in a position of authority. And he used his authority beyond...
Above, his authority.
That's right. Above and beyond the scope of his job.
What can we do to avoid this with our kids today? Monica, do you have anything you want to add? Because we talked about it for like 3 days now. Like, what can we do as people to help each other? We can speak out, we can pray and everything, but we need to start stepping up and going down to the courthouse and other stuff.
I'm glad you mentioned that. And I believe, you know, when I first started hearing about Emmett Scott and him and his unfortunate plight with his mother being a single mom forcibly by an accident, you know, like whatever the situation was, it's a big controversy in regards to how his father passed away in the military. But in any event, all these things led up to her being a single mom. And my reason for bringing that is up to single moms have a hard time out here trying to raise our sons to be men, raise our daughters to be women. And I still say it, and I'll say it till the end of time, that a child deserves two parents because we can't always have our eyes on our children at all times. But at least we have the extra, the other person to help monitor and care for the child and ensure that they have a better chance in life, because if we have to deal with racism or deal with having a disability or be unable to achieve certain things in life because of being a single mom, you're having economic restraints or other type of financial issues that come into place. We need to make sure that the fathers are held able to be there and that they are, in their own sense, maybe you see how we have to have children, our young kids, they have to take home ec, and the kids have to learn how to be a mom. Why don't we teach the young men how to be a father? Teach them that at a young age. Let them come into a single-parent household and see what the result is when the father walks away. Let them be able to get eyewitness view as to what the result is for these young parents that are
That's a fabulous idea, Monica. That's a fabulous idea. Like, you know what's going through my mind right now? They could actually do a walk-a-day in my shoes day and have permission slips at home and swap families for, like, a day to see what it is like in a single-parent household, whether it be
even,
a father or a single mother.
Or even, you know what, if they can't get the kid to be personally there, maybe they can have a video or they can see
I got to step in here a little bit before I lose my train of thought.
Go ahead, Mike.
You know, when it comes to a single parent, a lot of people think that there's some kind of love loss when you break up, but there is no love loss. I don't even know how I'm trying to articulate what I'm saying, but because I'm divorced and I love my children. I raised them. I did everything impossible in my power that I can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, when you split, it's where I'm not saying in my relationship, because I have a good relationship with my ex-wife, but
that's
it seems to where they think there's some kind of love loss, but they, when you have love,
mm-hmm.
it's always going to be there, no matter if it's a single parent or not.
Right.
I don't know how to articulate what I'm trying to say to you.
I think what Mike is saying is the kids interpret it like it's a love loss, and that affects the kids.
Right.
And so that's why it's a good suggestion you made also, Monica, to have them do a walk a day at another classmate's house that doesn't have both parents, because it's a learning experience. You can be more sympathetic with kids that come to school depressed or going through something. Maybe they didn't have enough lunch money. You don't know what's going on in that household. You don't know if the parents are fighting in front of the kids. That could affect them. When they grow up, they take all of that with them. You don't forget it. You still remember it. It molds them into the man they become as an adult, and that affects their relationships with their significant other or their future wife and their family, and that's why it's so important. Just like we have these programs today with exchange students coming from other countries doing a walk a mile in the shoes of an American here, and they stay for, like, what, a couple weeks or a month or so, or a marking period.
6 months.
6 months sometimes. Depending on the situation, we can do something like that in the schools. Then we need to write our school districts. We need to write our Board of Education to get that started. So now what I want to do right now is I want to bring on this caller. I see they've been holding for about 4 minutes. Caller from the 484 area code, which looks like it is in my state that I'm in now, in Pennsylvania. And we're going to see what the caller has to say. If you want to add anything in. Okay. Bear with me one
moment. Just Senior.
Okay. State your name, caller, and where you calling from.
My name is Justice Minder Senior, and I'm calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Allentown.
Can you hear me?
That's where I just moved from.
Yeah.
Hi, I can hear you. Can you hear me okay, Justice?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Justice. What's your take on? What's your take on what we've been discussing so far with the Walter Scott being shot down like he was, and also with the single parenthood and everything else? Do you have anything you want to add on what we can do as people to make things
mm-hmm.
better with this, all this terrorism that's happening right now?
Well, firstly, I've been listening for a few seconds, and y'all made a few good points, and I want to add to that is what I'm doing is it takes a village. I'm trying to get back to that mind frame to where, opposed to even going at the schools initially, we go at our neighbors. We deal with the people that live next door to us. We deal with the people we walk past every day. We deal with everybody
mm-hmm.
like that before we get to the schools. We have to start with us as parents, as a community, as you know, dealing with grandparents and all the way down the line. But it seems like there's a disconnect from like dealing with society. I don't want to make it a racial thing. I don't want to make it a black white thing. But it's like everybody, especially in my area and the areas that I've been in, it's like we barely speak to each other. We barely acknowledge each other, whether it's a head nod, a smile, anything, that it doesn't happen much. And that needs to start happening first before we start going at the teachers, the educators, the governors and all that. We need to do it ourselves first, and then we can go.
I agree.
And
I agree with you, my friend.
Now. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I speak to everybody.
It's not a white thing. It's not a black thing. It's not an Hispanic thing. We're all on this planet, and we have to live together. And it's not, you're right. I grew up on streets. I have some of my best friends. I'm a white guy. My best friend's black. My wife's Hispanic. I have children and stuff. I believe that, you know, you got to value the person, not their condescending. We got to stay away from her. She's black, or got to stay away from him because he's a freaking Puerto Rican. You know what I mean?
Right.
Every society has good and bad, and truth be known, I always hate this when I get into arguments with my friends that are white boys. They think all races, they're racist. Now, I understand I love them and stuff. I grew up, but I got to say that, though. You know, when it comes to welfare, do you know what's the predominant person that takes welfare from everything is a young white girl that's pregnant.
And bar none.
Look that up.
Okay. So we're still hearing
that's
from
the truth.
Okay. And we welcome everybody's, you know, views and everything.
No,
so,
Mike's right. He's right. I have several friends that work for the social services, and they have verified that and said that is exactly the case.
And then, let me just interject, listeners. Okay, so basically, I understand what Justice is saying and what Mike is saying and Monica is saying, and I am a single parent. I'm divorced, and I will share that it is very difficult when you are divorced and your ex-husband is not paying the child support to help you take care of that child, not paying the alimony or what he's supposed to pay. So it does mean that it's like 10 strikes against the single parent household, and it could be a man raising his kids alone, and the wife not paying the child support. You know, it goes both ways.
Yeah, right.
But it does start at home, like Justice said, and we did say that when we were on the air yesterday. But we're trying to also add onto that list the things we need to do that we can try to protect each other, because it does take a village. Like we've all been saying, and like Justice said today, we need to keep our eyes open. If you see something happening, speak about it. Because even if they are in a two-parent household, it doesn't stop terrorists like Dylan from coming in and shooting up the church like he did with Reverend Pinckney. It doesn't stop Timothy McVeigh from blowing up the building. It didn't stop the person from blowing up the World Trade Center in New York 10 years ago. So, what else do you want to add to that, Justice?
Well, firstly, as far as the shooting, the same way I said how it takes a village, and how I was mentioning about as far as us speaking to each other and, you know, acknowledging each other, maybe this kid that did this shooting, if black people or white people around him or Hispanics around him would have been more sociable, he might not have had that outlook of, oh, I have to get rid of some. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, it's not a black-white thing, but if we all were to open up and stop putting on that mean face and stop locking doors. And as far as, like, you know, when you ride by, like some black people, I've dealt with a lot. People ride past and they lock the doors and they look at you sideways. That's if we would have stopped that and try and take it back to, again, it takes a village. When my kids leave my house, everybody deals with them. People deal with my children more than I do because they're out of the house more than half the day. Whether it's school, whether it's the park, whether it's basketball or swimming pool, there's parents all over that deal with my child and see my child on a regular basis. So when my child leaves, I'm expecting the grown-ups and the parents, to, if they see them doing something, say something. You don't have to chastise them, put your hands on them. What are you doing, sir? What are you doing, little man? What are you doing? Like, say something. It's okay. Everybody stops and say anything they just do. Watch these kids go crazy. They cussing and, you know, fighting and jumping each other and this, that, and the third. And it may only take one person sitting on the porch to make one statement like, hey, what are you doing over there, little man? What are you doing? And they might stop and go on home. That's all it takes is a few words, a few encouraging words to stop anything and to change a whole perspective. That's what I'm working on right now.
What do you want to say to that, Monica?
Oh, I definitely have to say, I remember back in the day when I was a little girl, you could actually know that if you were doing something wrong, somebody would come and speak out and say something to you if they saw you doing something wrong. They see somebody smoking cigarettes. They see somebody young, underage, stealing or doing something they have no business doing. They would check you on it. And by the time you get home, that story will already have gotten to your mother's door, and she's going to tell you, do you have something you want to tell me?
Yes.
Now,
you know what I'm talking about.
That's right. The kids are so out of control, you can't even say nothing to them. And parents, they got to get their minds right to say, you know what, if somebody tells me something about my kid, I'm not going to jump all over them. I'm going to accept that and find out what's going on. At least I get that information. Because you can't always be there with something going on.
And that's what our problem is today, listeners. If I could just interject here, Monica, and thank you for that, and thank you, Justice, for that also. Thank you, Mike. What I want to add to that, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're all right on this. We can all do something that will add to making it a better place for all of us. But we can't. We also have to remember that in some areas, like Charleston, South Carolina, for example, that it is about a race thing with some people. It was about a race thing with Dylan that shot up to 9 people. He went in saying the N-word, and before he even got there, he had a swastika that he was posing, making pictures all over the internet and on his page on social media. He actually bragged about it, saying he was going to shoot up the N-word people, and he had on one of those holsters that's tucked under the crotch, so there was intent that he was concealing the weapon. And he knew what he set out to do. Now the news is trying to say, oh, he didn't know what he was doing, or maybe he was because it's only 21. No, you did the crime. You need to do the time. We're not going to take it anymore, and we're not going to say, oh, he's young. He's not too young because he's 21. He knew what he was doing. And we need to remember to not use the N-word loosely, like in the streets and the rappers and people saying, what's up, my nigga? No, it's not right. We don't want people calling us that. We need to be real about it because basically we need more Martin Luther Kings. We need more
Megan Evers.
We need more Al Sharptons. We need more Malcolm X's. We need more Nelson Mandelas. We need people to stand up and not be afraid. And I do applaud you, Justice, for calling in because there's so many people I spoke to off the air afraid to call in, or they say something off the air but they don't want to say it on the air. Oh, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But then in the street, when something goes down, oh, my boy this, my boy that. When they go to jail, you're not getting no money grant from your boy. You're not getting no business from your boy. You're not getting no phone calls. He's out there probably dating the person's ex-girlfriend or whatever. You know, where are they? You don't see a million people showing up at the courthouse to rally like back in the day. Back in the day, Martin Luther King had a million people standing behind him. They had his back. They showed up at the courthouse. They showed up with money to give him when he was locked up for nothing. You know, we don't have people to do that anymore, and that's what's missing. We have to get stronger as black people and unity. Thank you. We need more unity as black people. And we can pray. I mean, that's great. We love God, you know, whatever your religion is, but we're all people. And that's what we need to remember. I want to thank everybody for speaking out with us on Speak Out, Speak Up. We do take donations because we are it does cost money to stay on the air past a certain amount of prime time. We only have a 30-minute show, but we will be doing this again tomorrow. We ask you to log on if you were not able to tune in with us live on the air at blogtalkradio.com/lady-Selena. Again, blog, B-L-O-G, talkradio.com/lady-Selena. Okay, so thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in. And we're out. Till tomorrow, same time, same station, 6 o'clock, call 718-664-6189. Bye-bye, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye.